Welcome to Elements of Styles, the business podcast that trades in scarce thinking for community, conversation, and ideas in abundance. Each week, I, Mark Styles, sit with professionals and entrepreneurs, both local and global, and learn how they each add value to their communities, their partners, and their teams. Please enjoy. Hey, welcome back to Elements of Styles. Today, we're going to collaborate with the Dr. Joe Show, of which I'm a co-host. This was an amazing episode, and I really wanted to share it with you in case you hadn't already heard it. Please enjoy.
So, listener, we've been having a lot of fun, and we've enjoyed our guests so very much. However, we did an episode a few weeks ago around One Love, the movie of the story of Bob Marley. And we received a lot of really positive feedback about how we riffed, as you will, and we simply went back and forth. So we thought it would be fun to continue that without a guest. And today's guest, Dr. Joseph Schran, Chief Medical Officer, Riverside Community Care, headquartered in Denham, Massachusetts. He is a lecturer of psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School and triple board certified in adult psychiatry, child and adolescent psychiatry, and a diplomat of the American Board of Addiction Medicine. Dr. Schran has developed a respect-based model called the IM approach. Little secret, listeners, this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. The IM approach that suggests a fundamental paradigm shift, moving away from pathology to viewing a person at a current maximum potential. Dr. Schran is founder of Drug Story Theater, a nonprofit organization that takes teenagers in the early stages of recovery from drugs and alcohol and teaches them improvisational theater techniques. The teenagers then create their own shows, which they perform in middle and high schools, so that the treatment of one becomes the prevention of many. Dr. Schran has a weekly radio show on WATD 95.9 FM right here on your dial called The Dr.
With Mark Styles.
Joe
with Mark Styles.
Show,
the Dr.
Exploring
Joe Show.
Who we are and why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Invited experts discuss a range of topics in addiction, mental health, and the state of the world. The Dr. Joe Show is also available on podcasts, wherever you consume your podcasts. Dr. Schran is the author of Manage Your Stress, Overcoming Stress in the Modern World, Outsmarting Anger, Seven Strategies to Diffuse Our Most Dangerous Emotion, the winner of 2013 Books for a Better Life Award, 2013 Psychology Self-Help Category, and recently released as a second printing, The Fear Reflex, Five Ways to Overcome It, and Trust Your Imperfect Self. And Do You Really Get Me? Finding Value in Yourself Through Empathy and Connection, published by Hazeltine Press. He also just released this past year, Unleashing the Power of Respect, the IM Approach, which has won the Independent Press Award for the best general self-help book in 2023. Among colleagues and staff, he is affectionately called Dr. Joe, as he was Joe in the original children's cast of PBS series Zoom, celebrating its 50th anniversary back in 2022. You'll please welcome the Dr. Joe. What's up, buddy?
Thank you so much for having me here tonight, Mark.
That is an amazing bio. And as I read it, it's like, wow, I get to sit with this guy every week. I am blessed to be in his presence. It's amazing that you've let me sit with you for this long, and I'm not even paying.
I appreciate it. I'm telling you, when we bumped into each other at that restaurant all those years ago, and I said, come on, as a guest on the show, and you did. And then people started saying that we have this chemistry, this ability to just chat back and forth. And it's true. And now we're hanging out, and I could not be doing this without you. So thank you, Mark.
Well, it's a lot of fun. It's given me a lot of life energy, and I've learned a tremendous amount, and I owe a lot to the I Am approach. So for the listener who has listened and heard us talk about the I Am, but hasn't quite fully taken it all in and absorbed it to a point where they really understand it, can you share with the listener what is the I Am approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're gonna do this in bits. So
okay.
let me just first give you the overview. Okay. Why do we call it I Am? It used to be IMAX, but for various reasons, I moved away from that. But the idea is the symbol I stands for potential current if you're taking physics. In 1982, I had to take physics. I hope the listeners are still awake. Whenever I say physics, we know people fall asleep, but we're going to go on. So a potential current, electricity, but what if we flip it upside down and we call it a current potential? So a current, like right now, but potential the next second. And what if we see all of these current potentials as the best you can do at that moment in time? Not necessarily the best ever, not necessarily even successful, but instead of seeing ourselves as doing less than, what happens when we start looking at ourselves and other people as doing the best they can? That's the paradigm shift that I'm asking for. It doesn't mean, again, that you have to like the other person, what they're doing, but you have to be able to understand it. That's what the I Am is asking. We're going to get into it, you know, in more detail, but the idea is we're doing the best we can. So many people disagree with that because they can't see themselves in that moment as time as doing the best they can because they should be doing better. Right? Maybe they should be exercising more, or they should be earning more money, or they should be less overweight. I mean, all these different aspects, that influences the way we see ourselves. If we see ourselves as not doing the best we can, how does that affect our everyday life? So again, the idea is we're always doing the best we can, but we're influenced in responding to four domains. The home domain. No one's going to argue your home has had an influence on who you are. I mean, just think about home. You know, parents, siblings, cousins, you know, that whole culture.
What's your relationship with your mother?
Right.
Isn't that exactly the first question that the psychiatrist asks you?
Not anymore, no.
Well.
but it's certainly one of the questions that we get to. Actually, I could ask you. No, okay. So the home domain. And then there's the social domain. That's the rest of the world. The home is given a special place all of its own because it's so influential. But then there's the social domain, which is everything else. That's you and I doing radio show tonight. That's people maybe driving in their car listening to it. That's going to work. That's going to school. That's going to a sports event. That's going to the restaurants that we heard about. That's going to the AA that people just heard about. It's everything outside the home. And I think you can appreciate that stuff that happens in the social domain can influence the choices you make in your home domain. And stuff that happens in the home domain can influence the way you are in the social domain. You have a bad day at work, you go home, you could just have a bad day at home. But the I Am is saying, wait, let's take a look at that, because that is still the best you can do. You're responding to those two external domains, the home and the social. But there are two more domains, and they're internal. The first is the biological domain of your brain and your body. Are you hungry, tired, digesting lunch? Are you on medicine? Have you just exercised? You know, what is going on in your biological domain? And then I take a piece of that and give it a special place. The I See domain. How do I see myself? How do I think other people see me? My current concept of myself is going to be influenced by all the other domains. So What is that about? It's about our interest in what other people think or feel, which is empathy. But what we really want to know is, what are you thinking about me? I know we don't want to admit it sometimes. And I know that some people will say that's just not true. And whenever somebody says, I don't care what other people think about me, I ask them one question. Why are you wearing clothes? And they go, well, I couldn't walk around naked. I mean, I would. Oh, and they realize we care what other people think or feel about us. And what do we really want? We want to feel valued by somebody else. I mean, think about every person you've ever met in your life. The common thread that binds us, we want to feel valued by somebody else. What the I Am is saying is that let's take a look at us in that light, instead of increasing our value by decreasing somebody else's, by saying, you're not as good as me. You should be doing better. What's wrong with you? You know, you're not as rich as me. You're not as strong as me. You're not my color. All these things that we do to compare ourselves to other people, devaluing them. And then the astonishment that that other person, that other group, that other country does the same. We have spent millennia increasing our value by decreasing somebody else's.
But does it actually increase your value? The perception is that it would, right? If I take from you, then I fill it. I take from your tank, I fill up my tank. But that does not work. It actually works in the inverse.
Right, because the other person is going to do the same. So now you create an environment of competition. And this is the evolutionary challenge that we have. I mean, that is part of who we are as well. But the I Am is saying, well, let's look at that. Instead of judging that as less than and broken, let's understand who we are and why we do that. And when you begin to really wonder what somebody else is doing and why, without judging them, you actually increase value because now you're showing them respect. And that value then leads us to a very different place in the world. So the I Am is saying, here are the four domains, your home domain, your social domain, your biological, and the IC. These domains interact. We respond the best we can with the potential to change in the very next second because those environments will change again to another best we can. This doesn't mean, Mark, that you have to like your I Am. It doesn't mean that you condone it and say, well, you know, I'm screwing up and that's my I Am. It doesn't mean it's a free ride because everything you do has a natural consequence. So just because it's the best you can do doesn't mean you're not going to be held responsible for it. And it doesn't even mean you're going to win and be successful. And I think every single person has their own definition of success. What does a success mean to you? But in general, you know, what I say is success is when you love going to work and love going home. I mean, if you can achieve that, what does that mean? It means that you feel valuable in your home domain and your social domain. And so you love being there. Okay? So for some people, success, though, is having food in the refrigerator. For some people, success is having a home to have a refrigerator. For some people, success is just waking up. Find out what your definition of success is, and you'll notice that it actually changes depending on the change in the environment. So that's another part of the I Am. But instead of judging ourselves and others as less than and broken, not doing as well as we can, should be doing better, less valuable, let's look again at why we do what we do based on the influence of the four domains. And this is the part I want people to think about. Look again take those words, look again, and say them in reverse. Again, look. Again, to repeat something. Look, like a spectator. The I am is saying, let's respect who we are and why we do what we do, without judging it. And that gets into the whole concept. When is the last time you got angry at someone treating you with respect?
Impossible.
It's impossible. Because anger is an emotion designed to change things. We get angry when we want somebody to do something different. But being respected feels great. That's what makes us feel valuable. So we don't get angry. And so that respect leads to value, and that value leads to trust. And with that trust, because I know you're not going to see me as broken, I can truly explore who I am and why I do what I do. We have resistance to exploring that because we worry. What will we find? Will other people see us as less valuable? What will we find? And I am saying, go on.
And does my past indicate that people are going to devalue me?
Right,
so
exactly.
If I'm vulnerable and I expose myself, what's going to happen? Well, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Because
that's right. And that gets into this, again, this deep biological evolutionary part of us. It's very dangerous, we think, to be seen as less valuable by somebody else. And millions of years ago, there was a reason for that. We weren't the biggest animal, the fastest, the strongest. We were isolated mammals scurrying around, hoping not to be the lunch of some predator. We were the prey. We were alone. Being alone is terrifying. Think about who we are as human beings right now. The vast majority of people, being alone is terrifying. But for some, being with others is equally terrifying because they worry that they will be seen as less valuable. The huge evolutionary leap happened to us when we became a social animal. When that happened, everything changed. We became incredibly successful. And human beings are now everywhere. But every one of them wants the same thing, which is to feel valued by someone. And the reason for that is, if I'm not valued, I'm going to be kicked out of this protective group, and I could be lunch for that predator. So that's part of why we hide. We hide from others because we worry they'll see us as less valuable, and we hide from ourselves. But the I am is saying, you don't need to do that anymore. That is your I am. The best you could do was worry what other people think or feel. The best you could do was hide from yourself. That's still an I am. But now we can step back. We can respect that. What happened in our home domain or our social domain or the biological or the I see that is my I am, that the best I could do was worry that other people saw me as broken and less valuable. So that's the paradigm shift. The paradigm shift is saying no one is broken. No one is sick. No one is less than. But we're responding to these domains. Let's try to understand their influence on who we are, why we do what we do. Because once you do that, you have a roadmap of who you are. And because these four domains interact, the first truth of the I am, small changes can have big effects. You don't need to change everything. If you think you got to change everything, you're going to be overwhelmed. But you make a small change, that can have a big effect, not just for you, but for somebody else's I am. You open the door, you hold the door open for someone who's coming out of the supermarket with their arms full of baggage. You open that door for them, that gives them a sense of value. So the first truth, small changes have big effects. But that second example, leads to the second truth. Everyone has an I am. Everyone is interested in what you think or feel about them, which affects their biological domain. Because you know, it feels different when you feel respected or disrespected. That's what that I see domain, how do you see me, has an effect on the biological domain. And what this means is because you're part of someone's home or social domain, the second truth of the I am, you control no one, but you influence everyone. You get to choose the kind of influence you want to be. But Mark, I'm just curious, you know, what do you think? I mean, this really does try to change the whole view of who we are. Acknowledging that there's this profoundly competitive side to us, but without judging that and wondering where it's from, we know, but what can we do about it? So I'm just wondering, you and I have chatted for a long time now. I think I mentioned the I am to you long before you and I were doing radio show together, long before we had a radio show. Do you remember that more or less or something like that?
I do. And that's what was engaging. It has affected me in a way like no other. I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
And evangelical, I don't know that I'm an evangelist yet, but I am a massive fan/I guess evangelist would be the right word for it. I talk about it a lot because it is such a simple concept, yet it is so challenging it's not challenging to participate in. It's challenging to see that not many people are aware that the whole devaluing, the whole taking from others in the hopes that it's going to benefit you, right? The Schadenfreude, the scarcity of life, right? There's not enough, so I'm going to make sure that I get mine. And gosh darn it, if that means you don't get any, then so be it, as long as I get mine. And the idea of abundance and, you know, the value, if you value someone, then you're going to feel valued. And if you feel valued, and then maybe that and then all of a sudden you have this butterfly effect where everyone is feeling valued. And it creates this utopic, almost unrealistic view on life. However, as you say so eloquently, you know, as a group, we've had to compete with one another. And with this, it's the joint cooperation with one another that we could all succeed together. And it is utopic. However, it's something to strive for. And I think the more people who understand this, the better they feel, the better their lives are, right? Because they feel valued, they're delivering value, it exponentially increases their life. It's really profound. And I know that you're gonna take the humble road here and you're gonna shocks and everything, but it is such an amazing concept when put into practice. And when the amount of people we've seen in that aha moment when you're explaining it, you know, and that happens to me over and over again, because it's that the reaffirmation of it, or seeing it in a slightly different way or a slightly different context, it gives me the aha moment of, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be competitive. I'm not supposed to feel that sense of stress around certain people. I'm not supposed to feel that anxiousness around certain people because of what I fear they're going to, how they're going to react or how they're going to treat me. It's, you know, that trust, it's vulnerability. It's, you know, it's a nice place to be. And, you know, a lot of people, especially up here in the Northeast, with the cynicism that, you know, accompanies living around here, find it, you know, potentially foo-foo, and it's impossible, and that's not realistic. I'm a realist. I, you know, that sounds great, but that's not real. But it is, and it works, and it's not a tactic. It's a lifestyle. It's the reality. You know, if you value people, like people, they want to value people, but they don't for whatever reason. And it comes down to the same reason. It's the protectionism of themselves. And it's, I feel as though if more and more people were aware of the simplicity of this, it would be a much, much more beautiful place to be. I mean, could you imagine if everybody valued each other?
Wouldn't it be so cool? And you know, that
it would
stress,
be very different.
Yeah. Yeah. But it would be lovely, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be utopia.
And it can be. I mean, we experience it so often in little ways, you know. Now it's taking. One of my phrases is intuition becomes a precursor to technique, right? So we know intuitively it makes sense to value somebody else and make them feel good, and then we're safer, we feel good. The IM gives you the technique how to do that, right? This is the technique, the IM approach. Here it is. The person in front of you is doing the best they can, but they are responding to those four domains: home, social, biological, and IC. Because small changes have big effects, and because you can influence that person, not control them, but influence them, you can use the IM to influence their IC domain, influences their biological domain, and then they can tell you what was going on in their home or social domain, that this is their IM.
You know, you talk about the mirror neurons a lot.
Yes.
When we're talking,
yes,
about the IM, and that is, you know, I've been working at that diligently. And for example, I was at an event, and you could tell that the person was really on edge and really defensive and angry, and the people that were interacting with him were starting to mirror that. And you know, one of the people I was with, I was like, why are you going in that direction? You know, well, this guy, okay, mm-hmm, let's try this instead. And you know, you, as they say, kill one with kindness, you get more with honey than vinegar. You know, all of those little cliches are accurate because of the mirror neuron, right? So if you present them with respect and value, then they start to let that guard down. You know, it's put into practice, it absolutely makes things better, right? So you have showed that person value, they let their guard down, they're exhibiting trust, and now they put their edge aside,
right.
And when you present the value and people start to mirror yours, it's that affecting the energy of the space as opposed to adapting to it, right? So we talk about this a lot. You know Thanksgiving, or you know, going to an event and everybody's talking about politics, or they're talking about these negative situations, you can absolutely mirror that and accept the environment as it is, or you can come in with a completely different frame of positivity. And it's hard, it takes work. It's a lot easier to stay down there with the masses, if you will, and sometimes you're seen as a jackal, or a, you know, the court jester when you come in turning it into a positive environment. But it works. It absolutely works.
So do you think it takes work, as you say, because it's new and we're just not used to it? But then once you practice it, like anything, like an Olympic ice skater, you're just doing it without even realize you're doing it?
Yes. What I'm saying is hard is when it's more like when you're outnumbered, right? When you're in a room full of negativity and you're the change agent, turning it into a positive environment, that's hard because the forces are against you. But as you repeat and then, here comes Mark, here comes, you know, rosy glasses guy, you know, they start to get used to it. And then before long, they shift before you even get there because you know that that you're coming and you're going to bring that energy and you're not accepting the boohoo, the negative and the, you know, the downtrodden. You're bringing the good stuff.
So I absolutely agree with you. And you know, when people are used to that or they're expecting it, you use the word outnumbered. We are outnumbered in the world right now. The vast majority of people don't know the I am, even though they want to feel valued. You know, the vast
majority. But they think they're going to get value by taking value.
Yes, that's right. So that's the real challenge. That's the challenge that we have, is to not devalue that and judge that.
Right.
And say, that's wrong. That's not. That's the I am.
Right.
Why are they doing that? You know, I'd be really interested in what folks think about this. You can go to my website, www.drshrand.com, drshrand.com. There's a place in there that you can leave comments. I would be fascinated to hear what you think, you know, and I respond to the comments, you know. So if you got a comment, you want to let me know about it, I would be really interested. And if you think it's baloney, I want to hear that too.
Right.
You know, I mean, I remember when I first was introducing this at Harvard at a writer's conference, this guy came up to me afterwards and he said, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard." He said, "There's no way we're doing the best we can. Look at what we're doing. There's no way you can say that human beings are always doing the best they can." And I said, "But we can. This is the best we can do it. But if we don't like it, we can change it. If we don't recognize this as potentially hurting other people and then hurting ourselves because they hurt, we let's change the paradigm." But we were talking before, I'm not going to judge you for that. Absolutely not.
Isn't it fascinating that that person decided to come up to you and tell you that that was malarkey, that's quack stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I know that that's a struggle that you encounter daily, is that peer review, right? These elite intellectuals of science. And your concept is, it's basic, right? I mean, it's complicated. However, in practice, it's simple. So for the, you know, the educated elite, you know, there's that critic in your head saying, you know, is this enough?
Yeah.
Is this really something?
Yeah. And yet so many of those people have been willing to come on our show.
Yeah. Because
leaders, they come on our show.
Because it works. It is so, it's so vitally real. You know, it leaves me speechless often, as you can see.
I truly appreciate that. I really do, you know, because there's a thing called imposter syndrome.
Mm.
And I like to say imposter begins with I am. You know, I worry about it sometimes. Am I asking something that human beings just cannot do? is it possible for the majority? Because we need the majority of human beings to do this.
Right.
Right. Because being in the minority, we will continue to worry. We're going to get exploited, but we're going to persist. You see, I think we see it in small ways every day. I think every single person in the world on some level at some point has treated somebody else with value. Every person has done that. I want you to remember, what did that feel like when the other person said, thank you? I mean, that feeling, why confine that to one group? Why should this group do that within their own group wonderfully, but say, no, I'm not going to do that for the other group? And the other group is gone.
You know what I wonder about sometimes is, you know, with the way, you know, people are held back, right? For whatever reason, the home domain, social domain, biological domain, and they don't share all of what they're thinking for fear of being judged. Imagine what is being lost because it never reaches the surface, the ideas or the creativity that I'm not putting that out there.
That's right. And that's exactly
what I might get judged.
Right. So that trust unleashes our limitless human potential of creativity. Because when you trust, you can be creative. You can try things. If it doesn't work, okay, it doesn't work. But that doesn't mean you're less than. You know, there's so much opportunity to it, you know. And it's really interesting, Mark, because I work with a lot of people and many patients, and the majority, I teach all of them the I Am. And the feedback I get as they go through it, initially going, that's just ridiculous. Then there's that aha moment, and then they can change their lives because they don't have to worry that they're broken. They can look at what happened. I had a patient who said that every day they had woken up wanting to die, and now they wake up wanting to experience life. So that profound change, because the I Am is saying, okay, the fact that you wanted to die, that was your I Am. What was going on in the domains?
Right.
And so they explored it and they go, I don't need to do that anymore. I'm not being abused and traumatized anymore. That happened to me. Yes, I have scars to show for it, but not open wounds. So it's very, very gratifying to have these people, but it's one person at a time.
Yeah.
I remember when Carol and I were flying back from Los Angeles, I met this guy. We talked to him about Unleashing the Power of Respect. It had just come out. And he looked it up on Amazon and he said, I'm buying it right now. And then he said to me, he said, but that's not how you're going to sell books. You can't sell them one at a time. You can't be sitting next to one person and tell one person and sell one book. But it changed his life. He wrote to me and said, I'm applying it in business.
Right.
It's mind blowing. So with that in mind, you know, Mark, when we have other guests, we always ask them the two questions. You know, small changes can have big effects. You know, what small change you recommend to our listeners? So, Mark, I'm going to ask you that. Based on what we're talking about, what small change can you recommend to our listeners?
To really look again at the I Am approach and to think about it when you're interacting with other people, and that being aware of that mirror is so real. So if you're finding that you're changing your attitude because of how somebody else is treating you, you know, snap the rubber band on your wrist or whatever it is that takes you back and says, no, this is not me. I don't need to go down this path. I'm going to mirror back with positivity, and I'm going to use the forces of positivity over the forces of negativity to not win yet, be more comfortable and valued and value that person so that the environment that you're in is a much more comfortable environment. And that is a small change. However, it's an impactful one. It is small, yet if you do it over and over again with repetition, it becomes a very large change for you and for everybody around you.
Yeah, because you can influence somebody else's mirror neurons as well.
Right.
Yours are being influenced. You can influence somebody else. That's one of the steps in outsmarting anger, is project peace. You know, if somebody is angry, you be peaceful.
Right.
Respect them. It's hard for them to maintain that anger, sustain it. So the second truth, the I am, you control no one, you influence everyone. You get to choose the kind of influence you want to be. Mark Stiles of Stiles Law, benefactor, person who does so much for our community in so many ways. What kind of influence do you want to be?
I would like to think that I inspire people. I think it's a lofty goal. It is my goal to inspire people to do, to help others. A lot of times we talk openly about our charity. We're on social media talking about charity. And some people have been raised, keep that to yourself. And my whole goal with sharing what we're doing and how we're affecting others is to hope to inspire somebody who sees, hears, participates in to do that much more, and then create that ripple effect, that butterfly effect where, you know, you saw, you did, they saw what you did, and on and on and on. So that inspiring, that motivating, that creating, that spark is the influence that I would want to be, is to be thought of as somebody who inspired somebody to take action in a really positive way.
Yeah. And you have, right?
I mean, I hope so.
Countless times, whether you realize it or not. I mean, look at the people who work for you at Stiles Law.
With
you.
Not they, for.
No, I said, look at the people who work with you.
Yeah.
Did I?
You said four. Yeah. No? Yeah. There's
sorry about that.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah, with is better. I appreciate that. Thank you. Absolutely. Work with you. Because that's the culture you're creating. Yeah. And I love working with you. I love working with Larry Nelson over there at 95. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And please, go to my website. But if you want, you can buy a copy of Unleashing the Power of Respect. I'd love that.
Do it.
See you next week. All right. Bye, guys.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe on your platform of choice for a new episode each week. And share this with everyone and anyone. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for another guest, feel free to shoot me an email at mstiles@stiles-law.com. That's mstiles@stiles-law.com. And if you are a real estate professional, be sure to check us out on our private exclusive Facebook page, The Real Estate School at 892, for content and Massachusetts continuing education opportunities. Be well, folks.
This episode is brought to you in part by Secure a Title. Secure a Title is a fractional paralegal service assisting with all things real estate in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. SecureaTitle.com, where security and title come together. SecureaTitle.com. Secure a Title.
This podcast is being provided for informational purposes only. The podcast is not a comprehensive overview of the subject and is not intended to provide legal or financial advice or an endorsement of any product or business. The views expressed by podcast guests are their own, and their appearance on the podcast does not imply any endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Please seek legal, financial, or tax advice before taking any action on the matters or products discussed herein.